Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had an interesting story across my desk this morning. I read the Detroit Free Press every morning, of course, because that's the paper I delivered as a child. And, you know, with the recent events in the news, a lot of uncharted territory we're entering. And so questions are arising on how we're going to respond to some of these things. And one of the questions that's popping up now is about fall events, events that are going to take place in the fall. We don't know if or how they'll be affected right now, as I'm shooting this video long before the fall. But the question is, what might happen if, for instance, they can't hold football games? Now, there are people out there who say, Steve, who cares if we can't hold football games? You have to understand that football is actually a big business in America, even at the college level. We don't like to think of it as a business, but it is. So when you pack 100,000 people into Ann Arbor's big house to watch the Wolverines play football, there's a lot of money involved. And that money then, you know, is used to run the school. The visiting team gets money, and that's what we're going to talk about right now because Rainer Sabin wrote a story called One Obscure Contract Clause Could Have Major Impact on Michigan's Football Season. And this is very, very interesting. No one really paid much attention to the force majeure provision in contracts between football teams. And so if you look right now, you can go online and see not only a school's schedule for this year, but probably a school's schedule for next year. And the schedules aren't just put together at a meeting of the league the night before the season starts. They actually lay these things out, and they actually have contracts. And the parties sign contracts because of the amount of money involved. So the interesting thing here is that Greg Clifton is an attorney. And he began receiving inquiries about an overlooked contractual clause jammed into event agreements. So here's the thing. A football game is an event. A boxing match is an event. And so anytime there's contracts from events, attorneys get involved. And if you ever see these contracts, they're usually dense, filled with all kinds of weird language. But this force majeure language has been in there for years, but no one paid attention to it. And so now Clifton's sports industry clients, which include universities and NCAA conferences, basically have admitted that they never really bothered to read the force majeure clause before, and they really didn't have the faintest clue what it meant. So it just doesn't seem important. So what were the chances that a game could be canceled because of a natural disaster, war, or an act of God? And so I'll give you an example here, right? Force majeure, by the way, is just a term of art. But let's suppose that we have the Big House. That's the nickname for the stadium at Ann Arbor for the University of Michigan's football team. Let's suppose that there was an earthquake that split the stadium right in half. And the stadium is ruined. And this earthquake happens the day before the football game. Nothing else gets hurt, just the stadium split in half. Well, they can't play the football game. Okay? And so there's a clause in the contract. So something like that happens, we're out. The question becomes, is the pandemic we're going through right now the same as that kind of event? So Clifton is based in Phoenix. He said no one really paid attention to the force majeure contract before the portion. But in recent months, plenty of eyes have focused on that block of text, including administrators at schools around the country who want to know if they have protection should a non-conference football game, for instance, be canceled or postponed because of a coronavirus. So the Big Ten, which is the league that the University of Michigan plays in, the conference, the Big Ten would often have overriding authority to cancel games, reschedule games, and so on. But what we're talking about primarily is the preseason games. So before they play the conference games, most schools will play a couple preseason warm-up games. And they do this for a variety of reasons, one of which is they want to give themselves the opportunity to embarrass themselves on national television, like Appalachia State, for my Wolverine fans. We'll know that one. But also, it's a good chance just for the team to get the jitters out. Because when you go in front of a stadium with over 100,000 people in it, it's a different environment than the practice environment. So it's a good thing to do. So Terry Mohajer is the athletic director at Arkansas State. Now, Arkansas State's not a school I talk about often, but their football program is headed to Ann Arbor to play Michigan on September 19th. Now, here's the deal. Just for showing up, they will get $1.8 million guaranteed. They'll make $1.8 million just to show up. And that's based on a bunch of things, but there's a pool of money involved because I suspect the game is going to be broadcast on television. That $1.8 million is equivalent to almost one quarter of the team's revenue. So if they don't get that money and that game doesn't take place, there's going to be a massive shortfall or a lot less money than they thought they were going to have. So Mohajer told the Free Press, "I am planning to be there. We have a contract with them, and my contract says a certain date. We'll be there. I intend to be there the day we play them." The thought of the game being canceled is not something he wants to think about, noting that the financial implications involved during a time when school athletic budgets are already being squeezed, he says, "It's a significant piece of our revenue mix. We wouldn't be playing it if it wasn't." Mohajer said he and U of M athletic director Ward Manuel have not had any conversations about the future of the game, but he is well-versed in force majeure after the University of Miami football team canceled their visit to Arkansas State in 2017 because of Hurricane Irma. That action prompted both schools to sue each other, with the lawsuit from Arkansas citing a breach of contract, and they were asking for damages. They later settled the case, and Miami actually paid Arkansas State $400,000. So Mohajer seems determined not to go that path again. Michigan's other 2020 non-conference opponents are Washington and Ball State. They aren't angling to have their matchups with the Wolverines put on ice either. Huskies athletic director Jen Cohen told the Seattle Times earlier, she's working towards a plan that we're still playing the game, which is the Wolverines' September 5th opener. A spokesperson for Ball State, meanwhile, said, "At the moment, we are planning to travel to Ann Arbor to play Michigan on September 12th. Again, these are months down the road. Very well could be these games will take place. But if they don't, there's going to be problems. So if there are problems, it'll most likely be an argument that they'd make of force majeure. That is, that forces beyond their control forced the game to be canceled. And it comes down to the degree of detail in the clause in the contract. Clifton said it's still all about the drafting and the intent of the parties and what was meant by the specific language and making sure you put language that is not open to 15 different interpretations. For years, the doomsday provision was fairly standard and included a list of unlikely things such as invasions, rebellions, acts of terrorism, natural disasters, fires, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, and acts of God. Or we sometimes refer to these as the biblical exemptions. You know, locusts, frogs falling from the sky. Now, pandemics, different story. That word has generally been omitted, even though the last one was 11 years ago, which was the H1N1 virus. Clifford said, "I don't think any of us could have ever envisioned being in a situation like this. With force majeure, very few people took the time to say, hey, let's focus on this and let's see what our current one is and should we modify it or change it." Now, here's the standard provision that is in the typical Michigan game contract. "No compensation of cancellation fee related to a scheduled game shall be paid to either party in the event it becomes impossible to play because of inclement weather, an act of God, strike, lockout, or other labor dispute, any decision, order, law, rule, or regulation of the NCAA, or any other federal, state, or municipal agency or official, an increase in the number of annual conference game required by either party's conference, provided that notice of such increase is given to the other party at least 2 years prior to the affected game, or the occurrence of any other material event that is beyond the reasonable control of a party. In addition, if either institution is prohibited from appearing on television but the NCAA or the institution's respective governing conference, then either institution shall have the right to cancel the game covered by such sanctions." The key here is one of two things. And one of them is any other federal, state, or municipal agency or official issuing a decision, order, law, or rule. So if the state of Michigan issued a rule or a law and said this game cannot be played, Michigan say, hey, it's beyond our control. The university can. And say, the state said we can't. That's one. Then if that doesn't work, I'm an attorney. I'm trying to think of possibilities here. You then say it's an occurrence of another material event beyond the reasonable control of the party. And so if it can't be done because of that, you'd make the argument. So the question really is going to boil down to if you ever go to the University of Michigan and watch a game in the stadium, in the big house. They fit 100,000 people in a space that's suitable for about 75,000. You get a space about that big on a bench, and the person next to you gets that space, the person outside gets that space. You go with friends for a reason, because you're sitting in each other's laps. And I've been there, and trust me. And it makes the economy class of the worst airline on earth look like a luxury vacation trip. I mean, it's bad. So if social distancing is still required at the time of the game, you're going to have problems. But if social distancing is something being done because of a law, rule, regulation, or whatever passed by the government, then they have an out on that one. So it's kind of interesting because most attorneys who draft stuff, and they overdraft it and overthink it and over-verbose it, putting in as many words as they possibly can, never imagine that they'll have missed something like this. But that's what the future is for. The future is there to give us stuff we haven't thought of yet. So Michigan State's standard force majeure clause is less wordy, but more vague. So Michigan State, of course, is in East Lansing, and it's up north. It's the other Michigan schools, big rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State. Theirs refers to acts of God, acts of a common enemy, civil disorders, or orders of military or public authority. And those are all potential reasons for cancellation. Now, of course, the order of the public authority is what might get them out of this one. And they could also claim an act of God with respect to the pandemic. But that one notes that both schools would have to recognize these emergencies and exigencies for the game to be called off. So we don't know what's going to happen here, because this whole thing could blow over by August and we might be living in a normal world in September. I don't know. Like I said, the future's a funny place. Haven't been there yet, but I will someday. So it's interesting, but who'd have thought there'd be so much contract law swirling around the University of Michigan's football program? But it's actually swirling around all of the football programs out there. And so it'll be an interesting thing to watch. I, for one, certainly hope that these games can go off. It's something, you know, I've been a U of M football fan my entire life. Did not attend it myself, but I many of my friends did. Many of my friends went to the University of Michigan. Now, I also have many friends who went to Michigan State. For whatever reason, I grew up rooting for Michigan. Just this is how it is, you know. Same reason I like Chryslers but not Fords so much when it comes to racing. People go, Steve, you own two Fords. I don't race Explorers. But there's a thing about living in Michigan in the Midwest. And, the you know, you have a long, hot summer. And as the days start getting chillier, in the evenings in particular, you still have, you know, warm days and chilly days and evenings, and the sun's starting to go a little further south and days are getting a little bit shorter. And the first couple football games of the year are just mileposts. You know, they're just markers of a season, you know. And it's kind of like the first snow of winter, you know, or the first time you see your lawn in the spring. And that's what college football is to me and a lot of people like me. I never played football other than just throwing a ball around with a couple of my friends. Never put on pads and played. And I've been to shockingly few college football games. But on television, I'm there. I watch it. So I hope the games go off without a hitch. But if they don't go off without a hitch, they're going to go off with a lot of litigation, which no one enjoys. So there you go. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I've never once been able to explain my car trouble to a mechanic without resorting to sound effects.